WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever. In peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. As I write this, I'm sitting in a doctor's office where Lorraine's getting checked out to make sure she's okay for her cataract surgery, scheduled in a couple weeks. Kind of scary. Any kind of surgery is kind of scary. Even with a 95% success rate and being non-invasive sort of stuff, I still wish she didn't have to go through with it. Of course, I'm really glad that I don't have to go through it. You know, we're all selfish like that, we humans. We'd all rather have somebody else in the hot seat instead of us. When it's somebody we love, we feel guilty about feeling that way. We think we should want to take their place, but we don't want to take their place. We really don't. Even if we somehow convince ourselves to do it, to get in harm's way, step in front of the bullet, whatever, we don't want to do it. We feel like we have to do it. Different. There's a time when I tried to take a fall for Lorraine. Long time ago, way back when I had a driver's license and a car. We lived in Spartanburg, South Carolina. For some reason, we've made a trip to Hendersonville, North Carolina, about a half hour up the interstate. We were going to go to Walmart while we were there. We made a habit of buying old Toyotas for $200 or $300, and keep them running for a few months until they totally gave out. On this particular occasion, the car didn't give out exactly. The brakes did. Right when Lorraine was pulling into a parking space at her usual breakneck pace, she managed to hit three cars as a result. Not very hard, right? Three cars. I'm a bit ashamed that, well, we thought, well, getting the heck away from there was the best thing that we could possibly do. We had no money, beat up old car. I really don't remember how good her license was. We figured nobody was hurt. You know, they could all work it out with their insurance or whatever. Let's just get the heck out of there fast. So she managed to keep the car from hitting anything else, despite the lack of brakes. And we went a couple miles and turned into another parking lot. This one empty. And you can see there was a lot of police activity starting to happen. Lorraine went into a store. I slid over in the driver's seat. We thought, well, maybe we'd pull this thing off. But wasn't to be. Cop showed up. He asked for my license and registration and all that stuff. And he asked me if I had an accident. I was truthful. I said no. He wasn't buying it. He said there were witnesses at the Walmart who'd seen everything. He said, "Fess up, Chuck." So I did. Of course, you know, it really wasn't. He made me get in the back of the police car and took me over to the Walmart. We went got over there. We were no sooner there, and the witnesses said, "Not him. A woman was driving the car." Meanwhile, back at the other parking lot, Lorraine came out of the store and saw the cops around the car. And she runs up and says, "Where's my husband?" It proved to be a major mistake. Right about then, they got a call on the radio. "Be on the lookout for a woman associated with that car." And we both ended up in jail. Her for the accident and me for obstructing justice. We managed to bail out. And when we went to court a month or two later, the judge was so busy laughing when I told this story that he let us off with a pretty small fine. But I found out the hard way, it's not always a good plan to step in harm's way for someone, no matter how much you love them. And now my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we're going to welcome Don Webb and Sherwood Ross. Don is a first-time guest, and Sherwood Ross has been with us many times. Well, I went to a funeral last week in Winter, South Dakota. It's in South Central South Dakota for my Uncle Jimmy, Jimmy Palachek. Saw lots of people I've not seen since a long, 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 long time ago. Lots of talk at the funeral was about a long-lost cousin, a daughter of an aunt who had left Winter way back in probably 1930 or so, 1940, to have a baby in Omaha out of wedlock. That aunt or that baby were not heard from mostly in all that time until recently. The baby, now an old woman, was searching for her birth family, the Palacheks, and she found in her introduction to one of my books online. She read about her family and she thought it fit. Thought that was where she belonged. Well, it was her. It was us. She does fit. Fits right in. And I have to say that for it being a funeral, I enjoyed being in Winter again, being around so many people with a common history, the same last name. We all need that at some time or other. Here's the dedication to the book I wrote a while back called The American Dream. That brought us all together in a way. It's kind of an anti-dedication in a way to a book about the American dream. It's a book that does not celebrate the American dream, although I do celebrate my family. To Mom and Dad, Isabel McDowell and Milosh Palachek, to whom the American dream was real. They did the best they could. Two teenagers who found each other in the South Dakota wind and held on. Malash, they called him Mush, was first-generation Czech. His parents came over from Prague for who knows what reason, lived for a couple years in a boxcar next to town and thought they had it made. When they did move into town, it was in by about 100 feet. Isabel's people came from County Cork. She lived with a sister and single mother way before that was common. Her mother waited on Bob Feller, the pitcher, one time at the Pheasant Cafe in winter. Dad got his big break in getting to go to engineer school in Chicago for a few weeks and spent part of his career on the Long Pine Run, staying overnight at the hotel near the tracks and fishing for trout. He brought fish home and maybe a foul ball from the amateur games in winter when he got a chance to go there on a run and see his brother Jimmy, home from the Pacific War, now with a wife and his own family. Another brother, Albert, served with Patton and later went to South Omaha to work in a box factory. Frank went to California. Molly went away. Dad didn't go to the war because his job with the railroad was considered vital to the war effort. They said Dad was good enough at shortstop to go pro, but he didn't. Maybe he had to work. He hauled cases at the pop factory before the CNNW. They did the best they could. It's sad, a sad state of affairs for a whole nation. Everyone does the best he can, and we end up bombing Hiroshima. Dad cuts the lawn each Saturday morning on his one chance to rest, and there go 1,000 people in Chile, mowed down by our own CIA. Mom calls us in to supper, and poof, Laos is toast. Us kids sneak outside for another round of playing after supper. We play hide-and-seek, catch lightning bugs, tell ghost stories, and leave the screen door open just a peep. And a couple hundred intelligent poor people in El Salvador are hustled out of their beds and shot. And that's the dedication. The American dream, well, it's complicated, huh? We know people who lived and loved the American dream. We're probably those people ourselves to whatever extent, but the American dream is killing us. Too much refrigeration, too much air conditioned comfort, something. We are in the midst of a Barack Obama American nightmare tipping toward fascism. All that greatest generation crap of Tom Brokaw was just to sell books and propaganda. If there ever was a group of people in the history of the U.S. or Earth who had a chance, an opportunity, a mandate, a responsibility to be a greatest generation, it is us. For without us, the U.S. is over. Well, folks, there is actually a they out there, and there actually is a you and a me. And together we make up a we. They, Bush, Obama, Clinton, and company, want us to be afraid, as they told us in the anthrax letters in 2001. We can do this, but we cannot be afraid.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. And now, back to the show with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Hi, I'm Barack Obama. How far we've come. They shot Martin Luther King Jr. in the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis because he was going to lead a poor people's march to Washington to get the streets fixed in Detroit. He was getting that close to changing America. That's why things had to go down like they did, man. Be reasonable. We're all intelligent people here. We see what's going on, cultural reality, the signs. They'll kill me, too, if I don't do what they say. I don't want to die. I'll do whatever they say. say whatever I'm told. My children are young, should not die. They're not much older or younger than your children, right? Osama bin Laden's been buried at sea. 9/11 attacks were perpetrated by 19 Muslim hijackers with box cutters. Yeah, see? So far we've come. It's all good. My smile and wave are a little signal. You to do what I say, and really, nobody gets hurt. Vote for me. Obama, Biden, 2012. For hope. For change.
God bless the Grand Canyon. God bless Mount Rushmore and Grandpa and Grandma and Mom and Dad and Sally and Johnny. God bless the dead Iraqi kids and the dead Afghanistan kids and dead kids everywhere. God bless the Golden Gate Bridge and the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty. God bless Rover and Mr. Fluffles and Dixie and Miss Thompson, too. And God bless our soldiers and troops and bombs and bullets and ships and really big bombs and our president, too. And I'm pretty sure our president would kill anybody he thinks needs killing in order to keep his big white house. So God bless me, and God bless you, too.
Len, were we able to reach Donald Webb?
No, I'm sorry, we weren't.
Okay. Why don't we go to our alternate plan then? Mike, I think you were going to, I think you had something to say about the Vancouver.
Yeah, there's something coming up soon that's very important. It's the 9/11 Truth Vancouver hearings, and they're kind of an addendum or an alternative or an answer to the Toronto hearings that were held a year or two ago. Anyway, they'll be held June 15th to the 17th at the Denman Theater in Vancouver. To get information about it, it's www.911vancouverhearings.com. And, well, let me see. I just personally, I'll ask Chuck and Lynn to weigh in on 9/11 in just a minute. But I think that so much more needs to be added to what the 9/11 discussion. I mean, there has been a lot of good work done, and just imagine how far, you know, how late it is already. I mean, it's been 11 years. I mean, in JFK assassination terms, it's already the early 70s. I mean, we're learning a lot. But well, I just want to say Jim Fetzer is one of my heroes, and he's one of the ones who has organized this. And he'll talk about the no planes theory. And just as a plug for the no planes theory, I would say if you look at the videos online of the plane entering the tower, and I've got one up right now, not just a still shot, but if you notice when that plane hits the tower at a certain angle, no debris, nothing hits, there's no parts of the plane. You know, you would think if that's going to hit a solid building, and planes are not, you know, they're not solid steel, they're built to fly, they're built to be light. So if that plane hit that building, it would have boom. It would have scattered all over, and maybe parts would have gone in, but there was nothing that fell to the ground, and that alone shows a need for us to listen to Jim Fetzer in the Vancouver hearings, and I hope that they'll have something online that we can either watch as it's happening or afterwards, and I just think that Jim Fetzer and Kevin Barrett are just two of the ones who have been so, there's many, of course, but there's two of the ones that have been so strong and so, well, so thorough, and they're both academicians, however you say that. They're both very smart people, and they do their work, and they do their due diligence, and they keep at it over years and years and years, and those are our heroes. I mean, those are the ones who really deserve the Medal of Freedom and the Nobel Peace Prize. Of course, you will never hear that unless the country changes around to something far different than it is right now. Well, I'd like to ask Chuck, what's your take on 9/11? What do you think? What do you think happened that day?
I'm not convinced we're ever going to really know what happened. I'm not completely convinced that the Bush cabal was behind it. But I am completely convinced that they, at the very least, ignored the fact that it was going to happen and made use of it for their own advancement, the advancement of their project for a new American century. They had been looking for a reason to go to war. Wars are great for the people that make weapons. And so they were looking for any excuse. They definitely wanted a Pearl Harbor to come along. They even wrote that on their website. But did they...
Well, I have to say, Chuck, that I don't...
Why make it happen? I don't know. But I'm pretty sure they helped.
I have to say that these are not guys who sit around and wait for something to happen. They don't wait for the phone to ring. They dial the phone. These guys are not people who are going to wait till some Muslims decide to. These guys did it. These guys planned it. They did it. They planned the cover up. They are the same people who did killed JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King. They're the people who got sick of the 1960s. And they decided to, they would find a way to take over this country, and they've done it. A major part of it is to take over the media. There's not a newspaper or a radio show or a TV show that's worth watching except for The Office, except for The Office. And there's these guys, they've taken over, they're so good, they've taken over the country, and we don't even know it. I mean, and they've taken over, they started in Dallas, November 22nd, 1963, they went through September 11th, 2001, and they got the former CIA agent or current CIA agent, Barack Obama, elected president. And I don't think it makes a. I'm not. This is the first time I'm not going to vote. It does make a bit of difference. Shouldn't participate in a corrupt system, a corrupt election. Go ahead. That's me.
Yeah, I'm tempted not to vote too, but Romney seems like he'd be such a disaster for women. I'm not sure I can not go in and vote against him.
I can remember Barack Obama lying right to my face, walking up to the podium. I was working an overnight at a group home. Osama bin Laden has been buried at sea. That's the biggest bunch of crap, and it's just one piece of crap in a whole river full of crap that we've been fed, and it's just. Len, what do you think? What's it look like down here from Canada?
Well, to tell you the truth, my observation is I went to another 9/11 conference at the Denman Theater in Vancouver, and I couldn't help but thinking, why isn't this happening in every city in America? Why are people coming to Canada now to complain? Because it should be like in Seattle or L.A. or, you know, these conferences.
I don't know why that is.
Yeah, so now...
Maybe they're afraid to do it in America or in the United States.
Oh, God, what a sad state that you're afraid to have that. You know what I mean? And I'm not bugging them. At least they're having
but
something.
That's where we are. I mean, we've got a police state. It's really become a fascist country pretty close.
I think worse than being afraid is that there'd be no interest. I mean, if it was afraid, you could actually... I mean... And from my experience, being ignored is a lot rougher than being, visibly oppressed. Well, yeah, you start blaming yourself and all this stuff, and it's not. But it's like the fascism. Richard Dolan said the fascism isn't fascism. We're going to see. We're not going to be. It's not going to be so easy on us to see Jack Boots marching down the middle of the street so we can say, oh, okay, there, I know what's going on. We have to be so much more clever and to see, because these guys are good. These guys are good. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Len, do you think 9/11 was an inside job, or what do you think?
Well, we don't have enough time for that, but of course it was an inside job.
We got 1 minute for your whatever you want to say.
Yeah, it was an inside job. It was done by U.S. people against their own people. It was, like you mentioned, a new Pearl Harbor. And not only that, I think it's worse than we even imagine. I really enjoyed Jesse Ventura's shows on 9/11 in his conspiracy theory TV show. He did one in the first year and one in the second year. He has a third season coming up, and he's doing a third show on 9/11. And I think the stuff that he's come up with is the tip of the iceberg.
When does that start?
I don't know the date, but it's up to the network. But the shows have already been filmed and edited. So I just heard that one of the episodes is on 9/11,
Cool.
So imagine, And he's a concerned citizen, and like you say, there is kind of an apathy, Oh, well, it was a long time ago, so forget about it now. What are you going to do?
Anything else, Len? If not, we'll go to the next ad.
Right. Well, there's a lot of stuff out there. There's stuff that you might find that you don't agree with. There's some people who look into it and they don't seem to be upset about it. And we were mentioning earlier, it's kind of upsetting that people aren't more concerned. But that's the way it is. Some people just believe, like you say, whatever the president says, they just believe that. And when people look back on what happened really at Pearl Harbor, they'll realize that a deception was involved there as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. Thanks, then.
Yep.
Thanks.
Equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans. What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along. What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
It's already 1974, after September 11th, 2001. After John Kennedy in Dallas, it's 1974, 11 years ago from 9/11. And from 1963 in Dallas, it's 2012. Next year will be 2013, 50 years from November 1963. It's all very confusing. It's supposed to be, right? We are supposed to not be able to understand what's happening. What is real history? If elections matter, or who controls what, or if poor people are poor on purpose, or that's just the way things are. 50 years and the papers still say Oswald killed JFK. Big time actor Tom Hanks will make some big time movies soon, and everyone will believe it even more. How long will it be before we catch up with the lies of September 11th, 2001? How long? How long?
Overseas bases, Germany, Korea, Philippines, Iraq, Italy, Japan, Afghanistan. No, really. What are they for? Greece, Cuba, Spain. So really, really, thank you for your service. You guys are great. Yeah, really. Really, man. Nice parade. Cool flags. Hey, can I get one of them rip your floats? No, really. What do you do? Veterans Day. Armed Forces Day. 4th of July. Memorial Day. Flag Day. Welcome home. Vietnam Veterans Day. National Day of Honor. Month of the Military Child. The Gold Star Wives Day. National Military Appreciation Month. Loyalty Day, Silver Star Service Banner Day, VE Day, VJ Day, Patriot Day, Gold Star Mother's Day, Day of the Deployed, National Military Family Month, Pearl Harbor Day. What more do you guys want? No. Really.
I'd like to now welcome our next guest, Sherwood Ross. Sherwood Ross has been a columnist for the New American Dream for many months. Sherwood Ross worked as a publicist in Chicago as a reporter for the Chicago Daily News and workplace columnist for Reuters. He has also been a media consultant to colleges, law schools, labor unions, and to the editors of more than 100 national magazines. A civil rights activist, he was news director for the National Urban League, a talk show host at WOL Radio, Washington, D.C., and holds an award for best spot news coverage for Chicago radio stations for civil rights reporting. He is the author of Gruning of Alaska and several plays about Japan during World War II, including Baron Hero and Yamamoto's Decision, read at the National Press Club, where he is a member. His favorite quotations are from the Sermon on the Mount. Hello, Sherwood. Please take it away.
How are you doing? Thanks so much. Tonight I thought I would talk about my father, Boris, who was born in Ukraine in a small town near the capital, Kiev. He immigrated to America in 1922. In Russia, he fought for the Bolsheviks. He believed their promises about land reform, social justice. When he arrived in America, Dad tried to convince everyone he met that communism was the better economic system. He regularly denounced America as fascist, and I used to argue with him about it, saying, no, it wasn't. My father was a salesman who sold liquor and cigarettes going from tavern to tavern, and tavern owners regularly got an earful about what a wonderful guy Joe Stalin was. Well, not surprisingly, one day in the early 50s, my dad was subpoenaed to testify before the Senate Internal Security Committee, headed by Roman Hruska of Nebraska. And it so happened that Hruska's lawyer was a man named Sauerwein, and he tried to get my father to answer his questions, but my dad took the fifth and refused. The lawyer was getting pretty angry, and he finally said in a nasty tone of voice, I understand your job is to sell cigarettes and booze, to which my father replied, that's right, but I sure don't sell no sour wine. Well, Senator Hruska laughed so hard he called an end to the silly interrogation, and my father was free to return home. Those were the days when Senator Joe McCarthy of Wisconsin terrified the nation. People everywhere believed communists were out to overthrow America by force and violence. And a dozen top leaders of the party were sentenced to jail. Yet, I never once heard of any communist party member throwing a bomb or shooting anyone. My father surely never committed any overt act of violence. What I took away from that experience in the 50s is that often those who commit crimes claim that their enemies are guilty of committing those same crimes. I should have known then that if the U.S. claimed the Russians wanted to dominate the world, the U.S. was out to dominate the world. Did the Russians seek to control Eastern Europe? You betcha. And they sent tanks into Hungary in 1956 to prove it. But America's Central Intelligence Agency, aka the CIA, was also busy overthrowing countries by force and violence. The CIA matched Moscow's communists, and they even have surpassed them. The CIA overthrew the government of Iran, for example, in 1953, in Chile in 1973, and many countries in between, such as Guatemala, and many more. Well, the CIA went around the world assassinating leaders the very same way Joe Stalin murdered Leon Trotsky in Mexico. Cuba's Fidel Castro once claimed the CIA tried to kill him 24 times, but a Senate committee headed by Frank Church of Idaho exposed Castro as a terrible liar. He said the CIA only tried to kill Castro 8 times. So I have some questions. number one, if communism is such a terrible economic system, why should the U.S. have to invade Cuba as they did in 1961 instead of just allowing Cuba to collapse on its own? What was the reason for all those interventions? When communism did fall, it wasn't because of the U.S. military pressure or force of arms. It fell because of internal contradictions. It fell because solidarity in Poland wasn't going to take it anymore. It fell because shipyard workers had had enough and stood up and said, "We've had enough." Stalin once made a famous joke when he said, "How many battalions does the Pope have? Ha ha." Well, the Pope of Rome doesn't have any battalions, but he is a moral force whose intervention on the side of the Polish people helped bring down communism there and then across all Europe and in Russia itself. It was moral force, not the force of arms, that brought down the communist system. At a time when socialist Sandinistas in Nicaragua, by force and when President Reagan was lying to the American people about his role in trying to bring down the socialist Sandinistas in Nicaragua by force and arms, through funding of the Contras, the Pope of Rome, without killing a single person, played a huge role in ending communism in Eastern Europe. The force of the soul, the moral force of which Gandhi spoke, sooner or later triumphs in every hemisphere, on every continent. Look at Cuba today. It is undergoing a quiet revolution, changing over from an economic system controlled totally by the state to a mixed economy, where entrepreneurism of all things is encouraged. What I wonder is why Americans today, for example, believe that capitalism is the only economic system that works. For example, all across America, there are water utilities and electricity co-ops that are not run by private firms, but are run by city and county governments. Chicago is a great example. It has a publicly owned waterworks that is a national model of efficiency and innovation that supplies water to the city and the suburbs. In other cities, such plants are privately owned, private enterprise, and they do quite well. It strikes me that economic systems do not have to be either-or systems. My view is that an economic system, first and last, has got to serve the people fairly and justly. And I don't care whether it's called capitalist or socialist or labeled something else. And I wish our leaders in Washington would see it that way, too. The good question now is whether Americans should consider, for example, nationalization of their oil companies. These are the most profitable private enterprises on the face of the earth. Yet there are large questions of whether they serve the best interests of the public. Americans might want to know, for example, if these companies have played a role in plunging American governments into war after war in the Middle East. Surely President Eisenhower ordered the overthrow of Iran in 1953 because the Iranians earlier shut out the British Petroleum Company for pumping out Iranian oil and not paying them a fair price. Tell me why some of our oil firm profits today should not be going back to taxpayers and homeowners in the form of lower oil prices. Since the given reason for the U.S. attack on Iraq were all lies, tell me how it came about that after Iraq was conquered, American oil companies got a big share of extraction rights. Another question is why the public stands for the federal government subsidizing the nuclear power industry year after year. Fukushima had hardly exploded in Japan when President Obama came out in support of American nuclear power firms. Yet I dare say, if you put it to a vote, Americans overwhelmingly would support wind power and solar power as less dangerous alternatives to nuclear power, which Dr. Helen Caldicott has called either clean or green or safe. What we see over and over again is the U.S. government working with industrial giants against the best interests of the American people. The military-industrial complex is a glaring example of this, particularly the sweetheart contracts where there was only one bidder. It's time for a change, people. And if you want it, you're going to have to find ways to bring it about. I'm just trying to effect change around the world by murder and violence and killing thousands of innocent people every year in the process, while turning world opinion more resolutely against America than ever. That's not the way to do things. Instead of cutting the budget of the Peace Corps from $430 million back to $370 million, Mr. Obama should be expanding it by a factor of 100 or 200 and reducing the armed forces to the same extent. Instead of President Obama making himself more powerful than any previous dictator by making himself a criminal killer of innocents, we need leaders such as the Pope of Rome, who helped end totalitarianism in Eastern Europe by soul force. Think it over, my fellow Americans. Think it over. Good night, every one of you.
Thank you very much, Sherwood. Have a good night.
You have a good night.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. And now, back to the show with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Take it to the beach. Summer reading list. Catch up on the American zeitgeist. What can you take with you from your busy life for this one chance at some time alone to really soak it all in? Sun, news, really catch up on all the stuff. So when you come back to the office, you'll be an even better you, tan and informed, ready to, well, just be a better American, thinner, a better parent, spouse, employee, better person overall. Now, something with some pop and excitement, current events, and just a good read, well, there is something, huh? Vancouver hearings, June 15 to 17. 911vancouverhearings.com. You can follow that even online if you take your laptop to the beach with you. You wouldn't be able to, after that. How about 50 Shades of Vampire Blood, Boy with a New Breaking Tattoo? The new self-help book by that one guy, Six Superheroes Save Sacramento. Say that real fast, huh? You'll be watching television after you listen to this radio program. Tonight's programming is being brought to you by the CIA, the United States Army, the United States Navy, the FBI. Just saying.
Well, it's been another long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. On Sunday, Dick, his wife Jane, and the fam strolled down their walk wearing Hunter's orange suit, dress, and dress-up springtime shorts with their camo helmets. They walked through their tree-lined neighborhood, enjoying the music from the windows. Jane sang along as she pushed the stroller. Our son is an awesome son. The neighborhood window radios handed the family off to the pre-service organ music streaming from United Sun God Reformed Lutheran Church. On top of the church on the corner on a stout metal pole flew a huge Sun God flag that once soared proudly above the car dealership on the highway. It waved in the breeze, rippling perfectly back and forth. Two long, gently winding sidewalks lined with plants and flowers connected the church front steps to the walks on either side of the building. Small white crosses lined both sides of the walks. A glassed-in bulletin board in the middle of the lawn told the time of services and gave Pastor Steve Cash's saying for the day. The Sun God says, take it to the next level. Save your money, secure a comfortable retirement, stay on the same page. A sign on the anteroom bulletin board announced an illegal alien auction next Sunday, money to go to the summer Bible school mission trip.
Dick and Jane walked down the middle aisle to their seats in the first row, on the left in front of the lectern. They greeted those around and unbuckled and removed their camo helmets. The kids began watching the tiny TV screens attached to the pews, listening by the headphones provided. Dick and Jane sat down, took deep breaths, and smiled, gazing up at the mural covering the wall beyond the altar. A tight white T-shirt showed large breasts and the Sun God flag with the slogan, One Nation Under God. The congregation waved Sun God fans and looked to make sure each stained glass window was open, at least a crack. The window showed scenes of Jesus slaying the dinosaurs. The organ began to play. The congregation rose to sing, then sat as Pastor Steve approached the lectern. He smiled. He nodded. He closed his eyes, took a deep breath, and let it out. 9/11's on our minds and hearts. Since 9/11, there can be no more 9/11s. If we recall 9/11, be vigilant about the last 9/11. Keep it always in our minds. Praise be the Sun God, he said. He raised his hand, pressing them down as if pushing on their heads to make them sit. We're happy for this warm weather. Warming is right and good. The Sun God is good and loving and warm. This world must end, should end, will no doubt end at some point. The righteous, the lovely, the saved will join in Sun God paradise forever and ever. We shall drink and keep drinking, rest and stay sitting, eat and continue eating. He paused and smiled while looking down and then addressed the congregation sternly.
The evil one, Michael M., has been captured by the forces of rightness and good and warmth. That is good. That is right. We must guard against terrorism and homos, against those who would seek to do us harm, to take away what is rightfully ours, our stuff. It is our stuff. And praise the Sun God, we have the bullets and banks and employers and police and courts and jails that will help us to keep it. They will, by God, or they will be out of a job and will be in jail themselves, or such outcasts in their own families and neighborhoods that they will get very depressed, not being able to pay for food or cars or water or electricity and having no real skills. They will look at the help wanted ads and wonder where in hell they fit in and wish they were dead. So help us, God damn it, amen.
Amen, God damn it, groaned the people.
He poured himself a glass of ice water from the pitcher on the marble table left at the lectern. Took his time drinking it, sending out individual smiles around the church as he swished and swallowed. He put the glass down, touched his red tie, his white shirt, his blue suit with his elegant hands, and became serious again.
yesterday, we celebrated War Day. Those who have slaughtered in order that we might be comfortable. It's right and good that we do so. We do on all of our patriotic days. Flag Day, Loyalty Day. Counted each one out on his long reptile fingers. Veterans Day, Armed Forces Day, Save Your Own Ass First Day, Scattered Guts and Teeth Day, Dripping Layers of Burnt Crisp Brown Skin Day, Squashed Foreign Infant Eyeballs Day. He folded his hands into fists. It's right and good and warm to have traditions. They tell us who we are, where we're going. They give us a steady passage in rough seas, times of trouble. And for this, we are thankful. Now, let us pray.
And now, said Pastor Steve, we are proud to bring up someone who is one of us, someone who has served in our military, helping to bring freedom to our homes and vehicles. Please welcome Lance Larson, Produce Manager at Too Much Food, and Staff Sergeant in the Homeland National Guard. Lance, dressed in camouflage, fatigues, and cap, Lance Larson walked from the front row on the right side up to the lectern in front of him opposite Pastor Steve's. He made the sign of the cross and began talking about his unit was patrolling, searching for terrorists, insurgents, and people they could kill to secure freedom for America, and as always, trying to find the hidden bookstores.
We went to the door of these suspects, knowing it would make everyone more freer. Pointed our weapons and hollered at the top of our voices in order to be understood. Women and children had these big, creepy bug eyes. They wouldn't close their mouth. We stuck our effing barrels right inside their teeth and told them to suck it if that's what they wanted. They just kept looking at us like they were scared to death. Now, all we was there was to make friends and family free back home. A friend of mine shot this one kid. Head and hair, blood just sprayed out the back of the kid's head. Oh, I was so proud. I know how free I'd be when I get home to attend the church of my choice. Pastor Steve balanced by one hand on the podium to switch from his black shoes to his red running shoes. He knelt down to tie one, switched legs to tie the other one, and one leaf, pulling his knees to his chest, he leaped the communion rail and vaulted by somersaults down the aisle. Lieutenant gave a sign. We pulled back out of each other's way, shot the rest of that family. Dad, brothers, and back two wouldn't talk. They stared at us, so we shot them first, about 100 times. It was good. Felt like we at least did something that night, just ride around. That whole little house is full of blood running down the steps, sidewalk, right into the street. I shit you negator. Oh, sorry. Saving freedom, that's what I love. That's why I signed up. I'd do it again, knowing you people behind me. Son, God blesses you. Pastor Steve marched back up the middle aisle in his red tennis shoes. He met Lance Larson. They high-fived. Pastor Steve then turned to the congregation, raised his hands into the air, and now let us exchange greetings with those about around us. Dick and Jane and the others high-five and chest bumps. Pastor Steve moved to the way on the altar for the ushers to return the collection back.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO journalists are about average.
And now our profiles in heart. To those who have given or are still giving their heart and soul, helping us all have a better world. Our thanks for caring. And remember, Mr. Byron does not teach American history. in room 203 at 10 a.m. in Sheboygan. He didn't yesterday. He won't tomorrow or ever. Mr. Byron doesn't know anything about American history. He doesn't want to. And that's why he's been there for 33 years. If any of these names are not familiar, give them a Google search. And again, our thanks.
Daniel Berrigan.
Phil Berrigan.
Liz McAllister.
Molly Rush.
Leonard Peltier.
Larry Rosebaugh.
Carl Cabot.
Mort Saul.
Helen Woodson.
George Carlin.
James Douglas.
Robert Kennedy.
Howard Zinn.
Bob McElvain.
Jim Fetzer.
Kevin Barrett.
Dick Gregory.
Lenny Bruce.
Bill Hicks.
Lori Berenson.
Julia Butterfly Hill.
Karen Kitkowski.
Anna Mae Aquash.
Jim Garrison.
Ralph Nader.
Peter DeMott.
John Ross.
Randy Weaver.
Pedro Bissonette.
Dorothy Kilgallen. Folks, we thank you for listening to us tonight on the New American Dream Radio Show. We hope you'll stay tuned for Black Op Radio with our producer, Lena Sanek. He always has a good show for you. Always worth staying up for. We'd like to thank our sponsors, worldnewstrust.com, thespiritualun.org, June2508.com. We'd like to invite anyone out there who likes to listen to this show to join our ranks of sponsors. I know that they could use a little bit of help in helping us to pay for this show. Thanks to all of you for listening to us. And thank you, Mike. And good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.